Welcome to Zikhu Dafsi Manman Mavan Ram Goldar, and today with Zekas Baba Basra, Daf Nun Zayin, the third pair of Cheskas Abatim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah lists which activities in a property establish a chazaka that acquired the right to continue doing that activity in that property. It first lists activities which cannot have a chazaka to continue. Hayamamid Bahema Bachatzer, if one places an animal in another person's courtyard or movable utensils, for example, an oven or chickens or manure, there's no chazaka proving an acquired right to these activities because the owner doesn't protest such temporary activities. However, if he built a 10 tefach fence for his animal, a chazaka is established for these activities after 3 years because the owner would not otherwise allow such structures built on his property. The Gemara said an owner would be expected to protest even temporary activities in his private domain, and Rabbi Bar Avuha answered that the Mishnah's case is b'chatzer shutafin, a jointly owned courtyard, because partners do not object to these uses, although they impede its passage. This seems to contradict a Mishnah that partners who vowed not to benefit from each other cannot even enter their shared chatzer. Three answers are given. Point number two, the Pasuk says, V'otzim einav meros bara, and one who shuts his eyes from seeing evil. Rav Chiya bar Abba explains, Zeh she'in mistakel b'nashim b'shah she'omdos al hakvisa. This refers to one who does not gaze at women when they're standing over their laundering when their feet are exposed. Because the Pasuk praises this person, the Gemara seeks to clarify the case where he would not be considered especially righteous or wicked if he would not avoid looking. If there's another route to avoid passing the woman wandering, and he doesn't take it, he's a wicked person for taking this route, even if he does look away. If there's no other route to take, he's forced to see the woman as he passes, and what can he be expected to do? The Gemara answers that although there's no other route, even so, he should force himself to look away and is praiseworthy if he does so. And point number three, Rabbi Yochanan asks Rabbi Bana'a, Chaluk shel Talmud Chacham Ketzad, how long should the tunic of a Talmud Chacham be? He answered, Kol she'ein basaro niro mitachtav, so that his flesh should not be visible from underneath. He asked about a Talmud Chacham's outer cloak, and Rabbi Bana'a answered, Kol she'ein chaluk niro mitachtav tefach, so that a tefach of his tunic should not be visible from below the cloak. He then described how a Talmud Chacham's table should be set. Two-thirds are covered with a cloth, where those eating would sit, on which the bread is placed, and one-third is left uncovered for placing platters of food and cups so they would not dirty the cloth. The table's ring, on which it was hung, is on the outside away from those eating. This contradicts a braisa teaching the ring is on the inside, and three solutions are offered. The table of an amaretz is described as domu medur v'kaderos makivos hosa, similar to a fire with pots surrounding it, because he places the bread on the covered center and the food platters around it. The bed of a talmud chacham has nothing under it but out-of-season shoes, but the underneath of an amaretz's bed is like an otzer bagus, a cluttered storeroom, meaning a haphazard mess of utensils and food. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah lists which activities in a property establish a chazaka that he acquired the right to continue doing that activity in that property. It first lists activities which cannot have a chazaka to continue. Hayamamid Bahema Bachatzer, if one places an animal in another person's courtyard or movable utensils, for example, an oven or chickens or manure, there's no chazaka proving an acquired right to these activities because the owner doesn't protest such temporary activities. However, if he built a 10 tefach fence for his animal, a chazaka is established for these activities after 3 years because the owner would not otherwise allow such structures built on his property. The Gemara said an owner would be expected to protest even temporary activities in his private domain, and Rabbi Bar Avuha answered that the Mishnah's case is b'chatzer shutafin, a jointly owned courtyard, because partners do not object to these uses, although they impede its passage. This seems to contradict a Mishnah that partners who vowed not to benefit from each other cannot even enter their shared chatzer. Three answers are given. Point number two, the Pasuk says, V'otzim einav meros bara, and one who shuts his eyes from seeing evil. Rav Chiya bar Abba explains, Zeh she'in mistakel b'nashim b'shah she'omdos al hakvisa. This refers to one who does not gaze at women when they're standing over their laundering when their feet are exposed. Because the Pasuk praises this person, the Gemara seeks to clarify the case where he would not be considered especially righteous or wicked if he would not avoid looking. If there's another route to avoid passing the woman wandering, and he doesn't take it, he's a wicked person for taking this route, even if he does look away. If there's no other route to take, he's forced to see the woman as he passes, and what can he be expected to do? The Gemara answers that although there's no other route, even so, he should force himself to look away and is praiseworthy if he does so. And point number three, Rabbi Yochanan asks Rabbi Bana'a, Chaluk shel Talmud Chacham Ketzad, how long should the tunic of a Talmud Chacham be? He answered, Kol she'ein basaro niro mitachtav, so that its flesh should not be visible from underneath. He asked about a Talmud Chacham's outer cloak, and Rabbi Menahah answered, "Kol shein chalukon nir metachtov tefach," so that a tefach of his tunic should not be visible from below the cloak. He then described how a Talmud Chacham's table should be set. Two-thirds are covered with a cloth, where those eating would sit, on which the bread is placed, and one-third is left uncovered for placing platters of food and cups so they would not dirty the cloth. The table's ring, on which it was hung, is on the outside away from those eating. This contradicts a braisa teaching the ring is on the inside, and three solutions are offered. The table of Anam Arts is described as Domru Madur Vakaderos Makipososa, similar to a fire with pots surrounding it, because he places the bread on the covered center and the food platters around it. The bed of a Talmud Chacham has nothing under it but out-of-season shoes, but the underneath of an Anam Arts's bed is like an Otzer Balus, a cluttered storeroom, meaning a haphazard mess of utensils and food. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Nun Zayin, and our standard Siman is a nose, and we often use a long nose, like the famous puppet with a long nose. So here goes. The man with a long nose who had no need to protest when his partner stored a pile of dolls with long noses in their shared yard, averted his eyes while walking past the woman in the river doing laundry and washing the cloak of a Talmud Chacham, which was long enough to cover all of his flesh. Once again, slow motion. The man with a long nose knows that must be Siman Daf Nun Zayin. Nose. The man with the long nose who had no need to protest when his partner stored a pile of dolls with long noses in their shared yard, which reminds us, the next Mishnah lists which activities in a property establish a chazaka that he acquired the right to continue doing that activity in that property. It first lists activities which cannot have a chazaka to continue. For example, if one plays an animal in another person's courtyard or movable utensils or chickens or manure, there's no chazaka, proving an acquired right to these activities because the owner doesn't protest such temporary activities. The Gemara asks that an owner would be expected to protest even temporary activities in his private domain, and Rabbi Bravu answered that the Mishnah's case is b'chatzur shutafin, a jointly owned courtyard, because partners do not object to these uses, although they impede its passage. So the man with a long nose who had no need to protest when his partner stored a pile of dolls with long noses in their shared yard averted his eyes when walking past a woman in the river doing laundry, which reminds us, the Pasuk says, V'otzim einav me'eros b'ra'ah, and one who shuts his eyes from seeing evil. Rechi Bar Abba explains, Zeh she'en mistaka b'nash m'shal she'omdos ha'chvisa. This refers to one who does not gaze at women when they're standing over their laundering when their feet are exposed. So the man with a long nose who had no need to protest when his partner stored a pile of dolls with long noses in their shared yard averted his eyes when walking past the woman in the river doing laundry and washing the cloak of a Talmud Chacham, which was long enough to cover all of his flesh, which reminds us, Ryokan asked Rabbi Benah, Chalok shel Talmud Chacham Ketzad, how long should the tunic of a Talmud Chacham be? He answered, Kol she'en basar nir metachtav, so that his flesh should not be visible from underneath. He asked about a Talmud Chacham's outer cloak, and Rabbi Benah answered, Kol she'en chalukon nir metachtav tefach, so that a tefach of his tunic should not be visible from below the cloak. So once again, the man with a long nose who had no need to protest when his partner stored a pile of dolls with long noses in their shared yard averted his eyes when walking past a woman in the river doing laundry and washing the cloak of a Talmud Chacham, which was long enough to cover all of his flech. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Hazara. Daf Nun Gimel. So the Siman Daf Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Nigerian prince, that must be more on Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince who sent a servant to acquire a chatzar by placing a stone in the wall, locking in the irrigation, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, Nasin tzvor v'hoyl, if one placed a stone and benefited the property with it, natal tzvor v'hoyl, or removed the stone and benefited the property, ha'ezo chazaka, this is considered a chazaka to acquire it. The Gemara clarifies that in the first case, he placed a stone, the tzamad l'maya, where he sealed water inside the field to water it and prevent it from draining. And in the second case, removed a stone and increased the water flowing into the field. So the Nigerian prince who sent a servant to acquire a chatzar by placing a stone in the wall, locking in the irrigation, and sent another to acquire two fields with a raised boundary in between by making one kinyan on them all, which reminds us, regarding two hefker fields with one boundary, meaning a raised strip of land between them, Rabbi Zera asks, what is the halacha if one intended to acquire both fields and the boundary with one act of chazaka? Do we say the boundary of each land is one, and he acquires all of them where he intends to do so? Or do we say the boundary stands alone, and the field stands alone, meaning that since the boundary is of a higher elevation, it is a separate land, and they cannot be acquired together? The question is left unresolved. So the Nigerian prince who sent his servant to acquire chatzar by placing a stone in the wall, locking in the irrigation, and sent another to acquire two fields with a raised boundary in between by making one kinyan on them all, was shocked to find the palace he built on the next day a ger who died went to the guy who came along and installed a door, which reminds us, the Gemara considers various acts regarding acquiring property from Hefker. Rabbi Bar Avoha said, Habona paltrin gadoin benichse ager. If one builds a large mansion on the property of a ger who died, and another comes and installs a door on it, gana, the second person acquires a property. The one who built the mansion does not acquire it because he merely arranged bricks on the property, since people can enter just as easily as before. By installing doors, the second person exercises control over the property. Daf Nun Dalet. So the Siman Daf Nun Dalet is noodles, and we often use a pasta chef. So here goes. The pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches. Pasta chef, noodles? That must be on Daf Nun Dalet. The pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches from an apple tree in order to improve the tree. And Bikona it, which reminds us, Shmuel taught four cases of a chazak which depend on whether one's intent was for the property's benefit. The first case is regarding one who removed branches from a palm tree. Adaita dedikla kanei, if his intent was for the palm tree's benefit by pruning it, he acquires it. Adaita dechavasa lokane, if his intent was for animal food, he doesn't acquire it. His intent can be determined by seeing if he took branches from all sides of the tree, pruning it properly, or from one side, and just for obtaining animal food. So the pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches from an apple tree in order to improve the tree, and bikona it, and dug a little in the hefker field marked by a noodle boundary, acquiring the whole field, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses sada ha-musiyemus b'mitzareha. Regarding a hefker field marked by its boundaries, Rav said as soon as he digs once in the field, he acquires the entire field. Shmuel said he only acquires the place of his digging. So the pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches from an apple tree in order to improve the tree, and bikona it, and dug a little in the hefker field marked by a noodle boundary, acquiring the whole field, grabbed the land his Italian competitor was selling to a yid because it's as ownerless as a desert, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Nechse ovu kochavim harayin kamidbar. Properties of an idolater, when being sold to a Jew, are like a desert. Anyone who makes a chazaka in them acquires them for himself. He explained that regarding the idolater, as soon as the purchase money reaches his hand, he's removed from his ownership since money affects transactions for idolaters. Still, the Jew who gave the money doesn't acquire the property until the shtar reaches his hand, as is the halach in a city where shtar is usually written. Therefore, the land is left ownerless, like a desert, and available for anyone. Daf Nun Hei. So the Siman Daf Nun Hei is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The wealthy heir who had a servant put up a speed limit sign. Speed limit sign? That must be on Daf Nun Hei, 55. The wealthy heir who had a servant put up a speed limit sign in a field he acquired by paying the previous owner's taxes, which reminds us, three laws are quoted in Shmuel's name, the third of which is, Hani Zaharui de Zabin Arlataska. These wealthy heirs who purchase land by paying its property tax, Zavinu Zavine, their purchase is a valid purchase. If the owner does not pay his property tax, the government allows anyone to pay it and thereby own the land. This acquisition is binding through Dina de Malchus Adina. So the wealthy heir who had a servant put up a speed limit sign in a field he acquired by paying the previous owner's taxes, wasn't sure if he stepped over into the field with a grave, which reminds us, Rav Asi said in Rabbi Yochanan's name, Hametzer v'chatzav mafsik benichse ager, a boundary in the chatzav plant whose roots grow straight down, divide properties regarding acquiring the estate of a ger who died, as on Daf Nun Gimel, that a kinyan on one does not acquire the other, but not regarding pay and tumah. A division regarding tumah refers to a mishma, one who entered an area of fields during the rainy season when it's Rishusayachi, because people avoid trampling the produce, but said, I don't know if I entered that place or not, meaning this specific field containing a grave. Rabbi Eliezer rules him tahor, but the chamim rule him tameh, like the standard halacha of safak tumah in Rishusayachi. So the wealthy heir who had a servant put up a speed limit sign in a field he acquired by paying the previous owner's taxes wasn't sure if he stepped over into the field with a grave, because he was distracted by the man with the number 55 on his hat, carrying out halves of a dried fig into Shusa Rabim, one at a time, which reminds us, Ravin agrees that a boundary and chassid plant do not divide domains regarding Shabbos liability, but Rava says it does. The relevant case is explained with the Brisa. Hotzi chassi grogeres v'shusa rabim hainicho. If one carried out something the size of a half a dried fig into a public domain and put it down there, and then carried another chatzi grogeres, behelam echod chayv, if this happened during one lapse of awareness, he's chayv to bring a chatzis because the two acts combine to a significant amount of caring. B'shnei halamos pater, if this happened in two lapses, meaning he realized it was Shabbos, he is exempt. Rabbi Yossi says that even if both were done behelam echod, b'rishus achas chayv, if both halves were carried into one domain, he's chayv. B'shnei rishuyos pater, if they're brought into two different domains, the two acts cannot be combined, and he's pater. Daf Nun Vav. So the Siman Daf Nun Vav is a shusher and shul going, nu, 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 nu. So here goes. The Shushan Basin said, Nu Nu, Shushar saying, Nu Nu? That must mean we're on Daf Nun Vav. The Shushan Basin said, Nu Nu, to quiet two Adim Zomim, testifying to a Chazak who had to pay the owner for a field, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that if two Adim testified about 3 years of a Chazak, Benimsu Zomim, and they were found to be Zomim, Mishalmino is a call, they pay the original owner for the entire property, since their Adis would have deprived him of the property. Shnai Berishona, Shnai Bishnia, Shnai Bishlishis. If two Adim testify about the first year of use, two others testify about the second year, and two others about the third year, combining to a full testimony of a chazaka, and they were found to be zomim, mishalshing b'nehim. They divide the payment in three among them, since their testimony was combined to potentially take away his property. So the Shushan Basin said, Nu Nu, to quiet two Adim Zomim, testifying to a chazaka who had to pay the owner for a field, and to two other Adim that were saying half an Adis because of Davar, Volchatsi Davar, which reminds us, our Mishnah, which allows combining three testimonies about separate years into Chazaka, disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. In a brace, Rabbi Yossi relates that when his father Chalafta went to learn Torah under Rabbi Yochim and Nuri, some have it as a reverse, they both agreed such Adis could be combined. But Rabbi Akiva argued and said that since the Torah writes that a Davar, a matter is established through two witnesses, we darshan Davar, Volchatsi Davar, a complete matter, but not half a matter. Any Adis must have a legal impact on its own to be valid. In our Mishnah, since each pair of witnesses only testifies to 1 year, which cannot establish a chazaka, none of the testimony is acceptable. So the Shushar and Basin said, Nu Nu, to quiet two Adim Zomim, testifying to a chazaka who had to pay the owner for a field, and to two other Adim that were saying half an Adis because of Davar, Volchatsi Davar, to allow a set of Adim to testify on a chazaka, even though one said the Machzik ate wheat, and the other said, he ate barley, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said, Echad Omra Achala Chitim. If one witness says the Machzik cultivated wheat as the field's produce, the Echad Omra Achala Soorim, and one witness says he cultivated barley, Harizo Chazaka, this is a valid Chazaka. Although they contradict each other about which produce was eaten, people do not notice the difference between wheat and barley, so the disagreement on this detail is disregarded. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we learn that Adim Zomim, who testified to a chazaka, must pay the owner for the entire property? That's on Daf Nun Vav. Good number two, which stuff do we discuss the Suffolk tomb of Bushusa Yochid, where it's unknown if one entered a field where there was a grave? That's on Daf Nun Hey. Good number three, which stuff do we discuss how long the tunic of a Talmud Chochm should be? That's on Daf Nun Zayin. Good number four. Which daf to discuss the acquisition of two hefker fields with a raised boundary between them? That's on Daf Nun Gimel. Good number five. Which daf to learn about acquiring land by paying one's property tax? Good number five. Which daf do you learn about acquiring land by paying its property tax? That's on Daf Nun Hey. Good number six. Which stuff do when a person will not protest his partner doing temporary activities in their courtyard, such as placing metaltling there, even though it might impede the passage? That's on Dav Nun Zayin. Good number seven. Which stuff do when a husband receives produce from land he sold his wife, but does not receive the produce if he gifted the land to her? That's on Dav Nun Aleph. Good number eight. Which stuff do when one witness said the Moxie cultivated wheat and another eight said he cultivated barley, their Adis is combined? That's on Dav Nun Vav. Good number nine. Which of the when the pasuk of Va'otzim Einav Miros Beira refers to one who does not gaze at women when they're doing laundry and their feet are exposed? That's on Daf Nun Zayin. Good. Number 10. Which of the when if one's intent was for a palm tree's benefit by pruning it, he acquires a tree? That's on Daf Nun Dalet. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is everybody from Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning. The bed of a Talmud Chochma has nothing under it but out-of-season shoes.